My spirit. And so the message title this morning is Be Strong. I was going to preach something totally different, but Be Strong is the message this morning. If you don't leave here with anything else, remember that. Be strong. If you forget anything else that I've said, if you walk out this door and you start thinking about everything else, you're going to remember, be strong. Be strong. You know, many of us think that we can do it, that we can just do it by ourselves. We can just figure it out. We talked about this with the men yesterday. We can just figure it out on our own. But we need, number one, we need God working on our side. Because we are not battling, I talked about this Wednesday night, we are not battling against flesh and blood. If you are being tempted right now, you are not battling against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers in darkness. If there's somebody in your life that's causing you problems, you are battling against powers and principalities and rulers in the darkness. If there's somebody at work that's giving you a problem, you're battling against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. If we will get into our spirit and our understanding that we live in a supernatural world, that there are supernatural beings all around us all the time, okay? We are humans living in a supernatural world. I've told you that before, but that is the truth. Isn't that right, Brother Jason? That is the truth. And when we look in Scripture, there was a point where they come out and there's the enemies out there, and the servant of the prophet said, what are we going to do? And the servant of the prophet said, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he saw the angels of the armies of the Lord that were around them. You see, the problem that we have come to in America, as we just had another shooting that 9 people were killed, 3 people are really badly injured in some mall. I can't remember where. I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday. It just happened. Okay, it's just 24 hours or whatever it's been. And everybody wants to go, okay, we need to take guns away. We need to do this. We need to do that. No, we need to get back to the Lord. That's what we need to do. Because we're fighting a battle against evil, demonic forces. And if we continue to think that the answer is who we're going to vote into office and what we can confiscate, we're wrong. Because we had tons of guns 50 years ago and people didn't go shooting people and killing them. Okay, this is not a political message. I'm just making a statement here. You could take all the guns away and evil's still going to exist. You could take every car away and evil's still going to exist. You could take the internet away and evil's still going to exist. But what we have done is we have backed down. We become weak. We have become not strong, but weak. And one of the guys that you would look at is as a guy who he got to see all the glorious things that God did through Moses during the years. He got to do all these things. He come up under Moses. His name was Joshua. And Joshua was about to take over the children of Israel. Now think about this. Joshua is taking over for Moses. Moses is attributed to writing the first 5 books of our Bible. Okay? The first 5 books. Joshua hasn't wrote a book. Joshua is not Mr. Popularity out there where everybody's following him on Twitter and Instagram. Okay? That's not who Joshua is. Joshua doesn't have a big speaking gig out there. But God is going to have Joshua take over the children of Israel. Now, you have to understand the children of Israel number in the millions of people. And over the last 40 years, a whole generation has died off because of their unwillingness and their disobedience to do what God said, which was, I want you to go in and possess the land. I want you to cross the Jordan River and go in and possess the land of Canaan. And they disobeyed. And they had the View co-host that says, we can't do it. Hopefully y'all don't watch that. But anyway. They had the View co-host, oh, it's all bad, it ain't no good, we can't do this. Oh, they're so big and they're so powerful. And then they had 2 guys who was like, no, we can go through. We can make it through. But instead, the children of Israel decided to not listen to God, not listen to what he was saying through Moses, not listen to the two spies that said, yeah, it's going to work out, but instead listen to the spies who said it won't work out. And because of that, God's like, you know, I'm just going to have to let you all die off before I let you go through. Why? Because they weren't strong. They weren't strong. So here, Joshua's about to take over. He's about to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And the Lord doesn't tell him once, but he tells him multiple times in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. He says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. We've sung about promises this morning. His promises are yes and amen. They do not fail. If he says it, it's going to happen. If he says it, he's going to do it. Period. Period. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, as Jason said this morning, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, you need to be listening to what the Lord is saying to you and take that to heart. If the Lord gives you a vision or a dream, you need to take it, write it down, and prepare for it. Don't look at it and go, that's not going to happen. That can't happen. We have to be strong because he will not fail us. He will not abandon us. See, we read the Bible so much of the time and like, oh, that was great for Joshua. Well, that was for Joshua. That was thousands of years ago. It is for us today. Why? Because when Jesus came here, what did he do? He used the Old Testament to preach. He used the Old Testament to teach. He used the Old Testament to show people that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody but him is the way to the Father. That's what Jesus did. He said, hey, was it not written? Was it not written? Was it not written? And when Satan came against him, what did he say? Satan, it's written that man should not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He continued to use the Old Testament. You know, if you throw the Old Testament away, then you're missing it, because the New Testament, you can't understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. And those promises in the Old Testament, we are grafted in that vine when we become Christians and we become saved and we put it underneath the water. We are grafted in that vine and we become one with all those that he's talking to right here. He says, be strong and courageous. And then in verse 7, he says, Moses called for Joshua and all Israel watched. He said to him, be strong and courageous. The one who's going to lead Israel, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. And then verse 23, then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, be strong and courageous, for you must bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give them. I will be with you. I wonder if he's getting the point yet. Evidently not, because in Joshua 1:6, he says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead the people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. And then Joshua 1:7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you'll be successful in everything that you do. Notice what he says here. He says, be strong and courageous. He says, but don't go make up your own mind. Don't go decide how you're going to do it because this looks better. We have so many people today. We have preachers today who preach a different gospel than we have written here because they say, that's the way we're going to get people to salvation. We have churches today who, when you walk through the doors of the church, they're playing Van Halen or other popular music as you walk through the door. And then you go, why are you playing this secular music, this music that's not, you know, a Christian music when you walk through the doors of the church? And they say, well, we want the people to feel comfortable because that's what they're used to. There are churches that literally will sing secular songs in the church along with their worship songs to the Lord to make people feel comfortable. You see, that's not what God called us to do. The Lord says, come out from among them and be separate, all you people. He says, be in the world, but don't be of the world. And when we begin to capitulate, when we begin to compromise, as we have seen a lot in our music, in our Christian music. You know, used to in Christian music, there wasn't a lot of money in it. Used to, you'd have like some kind of Baptist organization would have a Christian radio station, and that's how you got to hear Christian music. All right? So Southern gospel was popular in the South, but you'd have some that they'd play some of the Jesus music of the 70s, the 80s, and going into the 90s, you know, then K-Love come along, And then they started Air One, and then you have Salem Media that started the Fish, those kind of things. So you have more music at your fingertips, and now you have Spotify and Apple Music and all these other ones. But growing up, you didn't have all those. There wasn't a lot of money in Christian music. It was a ministry. Today, it is a multi-million dollar business. Many of the people that you listen to that sing songs that you're like going, oh, I love this song. If you look into their background and see what they truly believe, you'll start to go, how could they sing that song if they believe that way? Why? Because there's money in it. And I'm not saying all of them. There's some really great Christian artists out there, and I praise God for them. We sing their music. We listen to their music in our family. But what I'm saying is people have begun to compromise and capitulate. I remember one of the first people to do it is when it became cool to cross over into secular music, cool to cross over, was Amy Grant. She was one of the first ones with her Baby Baby album, whatever the name of that album was. She crossed over into secular music, and everybody's like, oh, she's crossing over. That's why she's singing all this different kind of secular sounding music. Well, just a few weeks ago, Amy Grant had a homosexual wedding at her estate, at her house. Rejoicing in it. Oh, the beauty of this lesbian wedding going on with my niece and somebody else. Amy Grant divorced her husband and married Vince Gill. Sorry if you like Vince Gill, I'm just telling you, okay? Sorry. He's a country singer. So when we look at this, what I'm trying to tell you is, I'm not trying to just say one person. What I'm saying is, when you begin to compromise, when you begin to get weak, and you begin to get weak-kneed, and you say, oh, well, I can do this, I can do that, because I'm going to reach more people for Christ. What happens is, the enemy comes in, and he begins to muddy the water up a little bit. And you can't see. Have you ever swam? I grew up on a river, the Little Missouri River, and you can look in the river, and it'd be flowing, it'd be clear. And then you'd begin to walk into the river. As you walked in the river, the silt and stuff that was, whatever you call it, that was on the rocks, it'd stir up, and it would get to where you couldn't see down at your feet. You couldn't see what's underneath there. Now, if I got down in there with goggles, you can't see what's under the water. It gets muddy. Well, that's what we do when we let the enemy come in and we begin to compromise. You see, in the world today that we live in, there's lots of compromise within the Christian church, within the Christian believers. Because what we don't want to recognize, what we don't want to say is we're not strong. But that's the fact of the matter. There are things that are going to be preached from this pulpit that are not going to be preached at a lot of other churches. There are going to be offensive things said from this pulpit that are not going to be said at other churches because it offends the very thing the devil wants us to grab a hold of. When we were in men's yesterday, some people would take some of the things we talked about as offensive. Oh, but you have to be inclusive. You have to be accepting. You have to allow. You have to allow this sin. You have to allow that sin. No, we don't. We have to be strong. In the face of adversity, we have to stand up. Whether it ends up being 5 of us or 1,000 of us in this church, we have to stand strong. I said Wednesday night, we need to be the light. We need to be the anchor for this community. We got some other good churches in this community, like Jubilee Church, one of our sister churches. Love our pastor at Jubilee and his wife, Brother Marvin and his wife. Amazing church. So we have other people and other churches that we can commune with and that we can agree with. And I'm not calling out any specific church. I'm not sitting in their pulpit today. I'm not sitting in their church. I can't tell you everything that they believe, but I'm going to tell you there are churches in our community that do not believe the Word of God is infallible and should be followed 100%. Instead, they go, oh, that's legalism. If you start to do that, that's legalism. If you start to talk about this sin, well, if you talk about that sin, you got to talk about this sin over here. Okay, let's talk about it all. Let's just go into Romans and let's just read the whole thing. See, God doesn't ask us to get weak so that people will accept us, so that people will come into our church, so that people will fellowship with us. God says, be strong and courageous. Because when Joshua wanted to go over into the across the Jordan River, there had to be a lot of questions. Well, Lord, it's flood stage. How are we going to get across? I tell you what, let's build a bridge to go across it. The Lord didn't tell him to do that. The Lord said, he said there in verse 7, do not deviate from the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or the left. Well, one of the instructions that the Lord gave Joshua was you're going to send the Ark of the Covenant ahead of you, and you're going to go across the river. Now, I grew up on a river. We had a canoeing business. I know what it's like to have a fast-flowing river, okay? I understand. You cannot walk into a fast-flowing river and keep your feet up. As a matter of fact, when they would release water from the dam, the water would rise an extra 4 feet from where it was already at. And so where you used to could walk across the river, it would, some areas it's going to be above your head because the water that's flowing down there. So if you say, okay, I want you to tell them to go in advance, carry the ark, and I want them to start walking across this river. Now, these guys had to listen to Joshua. These guys were not the warriors. These guys were the priest. These guys might not have been the strongest guys out there, but they're doing what they're told to do. So in verse 9, he says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He tells him again. See, what the Lord understands is, even Joshua, who was called to lead the children of Israel into the promised land now, to take them across the Jordan River, knew that he was going to have struggles, knew that the enemy was going to come and try to get him scared, try to get him confused. And so the Lord just tells him again, be strong and courageous. See, the enemy wants to do that in your life this morning. He wants to get you confused. He wants to get you scared. He wants you to get you concerned. He wants to get you worried. Oh, I've got to change. I got to change because people won't listen to me. I got to change because, I'm going to lose business. I got to change. No, I'm going to tell you this morning, be strong, be strong, be strong. If you leave here, what are you going to remember? Be strong when you walk out this door. Then he tells Joshua in verse 18, anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your orders and everything you command will be put to death. Oh, by the way, be strong and courageous. If I walk up to you, people in business, and I say, now you're going to, you listen to what God says. Do what he says. And don't go to the right or the left. Do exactly what he says. Oh, and by the way, there are people who are going to try to disobey your orders, but continue to do exactly what I said. People are going to push against you. They're going to fight against you. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a couple of people who are going to quit. And you're like, I've already got too much work as it is, God. And then the Lord says, hey, it's not going to be easy. Be strong and courageous. Talk to you soon. This is the God that we serve. He says, hey, even though you're going to go up against things and people are going to go against you and be opposite of what you feel like they should be, let me tell you something. Everybody who's a manager or who has ever managed anybody has dealt with somebody that needs Jesus at minimum, okay, at minimum. And at worst, you're like, God, can we employ this right here where you said they'd be put to death? Every one of us has dealt with somebody. If you've ever been in management, that you're like, God, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian, because I might just slap this person right now. But I got to turn the other cheek, Lord, but I can write them up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But he says, be strong and courageous. And then he says, even though you go through all this stuff in verse 25 of chapter 10, don't be afraid or discouraged. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is going to do this to all of your enemies. See, your enemy is the devil. Your enemy is those demonic working spirits that want to work against you, that supernatural world I told you about earlier and I've been talking to you about, that is the enemy. And you can sit in here and you can say, you know what? I can do this on my own. I'm logical. I'm rational. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I can figure this out on my own. I want to tell you, the Lord is saying, no, you can't. You've got to listen to me. And when you listen to me, I'm going to tell you to do some things that you may not think are smart, that you may not think are logical, and it may not even look rational. But in that, be strong and courageous. Continue to do it. Be strong. You see, what you're going through right now, sometimes you just got to stand up and just do it. You just got to stand up and do it. If you're hurt and the doctor says you got to stretch a certain way and it hurts because you got to stretch, you just got to do it. And when it comes to serving the Lord, that's what you've got to do. You've got to say, I'm going to do it even though the storms come, even though the trials come, even though people are going to look at me and people are going to give me a hard time, and I'm going to be strong. Why? Because this word is for me. God's promises are yes and amen. They are true today. They are true tomorrow as well as they were true 1,000 years ago. They're still there. They're still there. So 1 Corinthians 16, 13, Paul speaking for the Lord says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous and be strong. Here we hear it again. It's all through the Bible. Wait a minute here. We all have to be strong. We all have to be courageous. We all have to stand firm. We don't need to be weak. We need to understand that we're in a battle. And if let me tell you something. If you're playing with sin, you are taking your shield of faith and you're weakening it. Weakening your shield of faith. If you're playing with sin, if you're like, oh, it's okay. If you're not diving in 100% into what God has for your life, then you're weakening yourself. Listen, I've been in church for 44 years. That's how old I am. I was in church the Sunday after I was born. That doesn't make me spiritual, but it lets me see, and I'm able to see a lot of things that have went on. And I've seen a lot of people go through church in 44 years. I've seen a lot of people come crying to the altar, oh, Lord, forgive me. But they continue to play. They continue to let the devil come in, and they don't stay strong and courageous, and they start capitulating, and they start compromising, and they say, no, it's okay, I'll be all right. Listen, it's not easy being a Christian. I don't care what some TV preacher tells you, it's not easy. And if it is, tell me, show me that being a Christian is easy. No, loving the Lord, that's easy. Living out that love in a world that we live in, that's hard. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's great. Praise God. Now say, I hope everybody around me can say, Adam loves me, this I know, because he told me so. But the problem is we are humans. And we have to work at that. The Bible says that our salvation is not something we can take lightly, that we have to work at our salvation. We have to do things. We're told that faith without works is dead. What does that mean? It means we have to do something. There's a song about that. Just do something. I remember who sang that one, but one of the guys sang. We have to do something. We have to live this life out. We have to be different. Listen, when the scripture says, come out from among ye and be separate, that's what it means. Oh, but I got to go to work. Yeah, you do. But you don't live like those people at work live. You don't talk like they do, act like they do. Sorry, there's a song coming to my head. I don't want to do that one. That's not what we need. What we need is people who go into the middle of it and shine like Jesus, being imagers of Christ. People that are living above reproach. What does above reproach mean? Above reproach means that people can't find fault in you. People can't find, that's what we need. Oh, well, I just don't, you know, I'm trying. What do you mean you're trying? Is that what an Olympian says? I'm trying? No, an Olympian says, I'm not fast enough. What do I got to do to get faster? What do I got to do to get faster? I'm a NASCAR fan, you know. And after they practice, and yesterday after my driver, you know, he placed second on the pole. He didn't get the pole. He got in second by 0.01 seconds. That's how close it was. 0.01. Two cars going around a mile-and-a-half racetrack at 190 miles an hour and 0.01. I mean, that's like the tip of your nose or something. I don't know. That's crazy. And afterwards, they're talking to him. And he didn't go, man, that was great. I placed second for the start of the race. But what does he say instead? He's like, well, we got to see where we missed out on that one. How we didn't beat that. I'm like, you're 0.01 seconds off of the pole winner. And he says, and listen, tomorrow, it's going to be a different story. We're going to have to get better even before we go into tomorrow. We got to get our cars ready, get them better. But you know what we do as Christians in America? We go, how close can I get just to get by? How much can I do just to get by? I'm fine with placing 36th out of 36th, as long as I get to heaven. That's our attitude. I might have been five laps down, but I made it across the finish line. But that's what we do as Christians in America. We go, oh, no, no, how close, how far can I live and still make it? Oh, wait a minute. God wants me to do certain things, but God, I will live my Christianity out my way. But when we go back, he says, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. All the instructions Moses gave was in five books of the Bible. It wasn't like, they weren't like sitting down, Jason, and going, okay, Jason, here's what I want you to do. When you come in on Sunday morning, unlock the door, make sure the air conditioner's turned on this and that, and then everything's going to be good. No. Here's the instructions right here. Follow all these instructions. Jason's like, that's not the job for me. Somebody else. Joshua could have said that, but Joshua says, I'll do it. But when we come into this Christian life, we have to be strong. I mean, come on, 1 Corinthians, that's the New Testament, folks. That's not the Old Testament. So if you don't like the Old Testament, we'll go to the New Testament. He says, be courageous and strong. Stand firm in your faith. And then 1 Peter 1:7, he says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. When you go through trials, it shows your faith is genuine. Come on. If anybody could play football and be good, everybody would play football. But they can't. And so you go out there and you work at it to find out that it's genuine. They work out, okay? So when they draft players, they bring the players in and they don't immediately sign contracts with the players. They bring the players in and there's a lot of other stuff they looked at before. There's a lot of stuff they're going to look at after to find out if they're genuine. And it's the same with our faith. Faith, the trials that we go through will show that we're genuine. People will see you and they'll go, that's genuine. That person's real. It says, it is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. See, we are pressing forward toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. And that day that Jesus returns is what you're working for right now. That day when everybody gets to see all your works is what you're working toward right now. Well, I'm trying. Don't try, do. Be strong. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. I hope that you're getting the point this morning. Be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Anything that you do for God will come about and it will be effective. The Bible says that the word of the Lord does not return to him void. There's a lot of stuff Christy and I have done in our 44 years for the Lord. And we look back at some of it and go, man, We really should have done something different there because that just wasn't effective. But the one thing that we do know is that God has taken and used those things. Even though maybe we didn't hear God right, or maybe we feel like we were just toiling along, God is taking and using that. Jason, the things that you did while you were pastoring, and you look at some of those people going, I don't even know if they're going to make it to heaven. All these things I did, I feel like they were a waste of time. God's going to take it, and he's going to use it, and one day you're going to get to heaven, and you're like, I can't believe that worked. Look at these people that got here. I don't know how they got here. They were 36, five laps down, but they got here. Praise God. That's what God's going to do. Many of you, I'm telling you, many of you have went through. You're saying, listen, I'm over 40. You may be over 40 with me, and you're saying, this just hasn't worked out, God. It's just not working right. Don't worry about it. Just keep on, keep on, keep on. Be strong and be courageous. Be strong and keep on serving the Lord. Don't be movable, but instead be immovable. Be strong. Stand firm in your faith. That's what the scripture tells us to do, because it's never, ever useless. And then in Colossians 2, 6 through 8, he says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong, there it is again, in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather from Christ. So what does he say here? He's telling us that we have to get our roots deep into Jesus and be founded upon the cross, be founded upon Jesus and his word. As Errol was saying in men's yesterday morning, talking about the cornerstone, everything is based on the cornerstone when it comes to a building. All your measurements, that's how you get squared up, right? If the cornerstone is in the wrong place, everything else is out of whack and it becomes a terrible build. The Bible says, do not build your house upon the sinking sand, but build your house upon the rock. Because the foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The sand is the empty philosophies and the high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world. You see, you may think I'm crazy when I talk about all these spiritual powers that we live in a supernatural world. He said it right there. Did you not hear it? Let's read it one more time in verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that come from where? One, human thinking. Two, from the spiritual powers of this world. I didn't say it. He said it. You got a problem with it? Have a talk with him. We have a break in between church today. Go have a talk with him. The thing that we have to understand is that when we begin to let that in, that's that sinking sand that we build on. But we have to build our life upon the cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. He is the rock of our salvation. He is our Redeemer that we talked about this morning. He is the one that we remember his blood and his body this morning. That is who he is. We have to be strong in him and in the power of his might. Then Galatians 6, 7 through 9 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when you say, hey, you want to know something? I don't want to be strong. I'm just going to kind of go about it. You're going to harvest the things that you plant. We've talked about King David a little bit over the last couple of weeks, I think, in class. King David harvested some things, and it was a lot of problems because he compromised. He compromised with Bathsheba, and then he murdered Bathsheba's husband. He lost the baby, and because of the sin in his life, it led to sin in his family, and it led to disruption. It almost destroyed Israel on the spot because one of his sons did by taking over Israel for a time. And then when you look at Solomon, you got to go, man, you know, even though David was a man after God's own heart, because he did love the Lord, even though he was a broken and sinful man at times. Can you imagine what his son Solomon would have been like as a king if he would have had a dad that had stayed true and been strong through it all? Maybe Solomon would have made some different decisions instead of, you know, marrying and having a bunch of concubines. And that would have helped them out a lot, helped Israel out a lot. But he says, don't be misled. You will harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired. What does that mean? Let's be strong. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. We will reap if we don't give up. You know, one of the things they do in NASCAR, guy's having a hard time. His car isn't driving right. And his crew chief will come across.
It's okay. Wait until the next pit stop. We're going to get you some changes, and you're going to get back out there, and we're going to get you the lead, okay? Just keep it going.
You're going, he's five laps down. What are you talking about? Maybe he's not five laps down, but it's constant encouragement. It's okay. It's okay. If you won't faint, if you won't give up, if you won't stop, we'll get it fixed. It's what God's saying. Don't give up. Oh, God, I'm going through a really rough time right now. My business isn't going the way it's supposed to be going. I've got employees that are giving me problems. God, I've got family members that are giving me problems. I got friends who are abandoning me and not there for me when I need them. I got things going on with my school or whatever it may be. That's okay. Don't give up. Instead, be strong. Don't get tired of doing what is good. Continue to do it. I've seen too many people, they get tired of doing what is good, and they say, fine, I'm going to take the easy route. I'm going to take the wide path. I'm getting off that narrow path that leads to heaven. I'm going to take a wide path that leads to destruction. The problem when you take the wide path is there's a lot of people who follow you down that path. Oh, you took that path. That's where I'm going. That's where Adam's going. That's the way I'm going. I've said, I don't care what happens in this church. I'll be the last person out the doors of this church. If the Lord keeps this church here for 2 years or 200 years, either he's going to take me or he's going to take me out the last person. Because I didn't come here to plant a church that's going to give up because things go bad. When COVID was in full swing and everything, I mean, it was just me and the Sassos and my family and the Sassos. That was all that was here, trying to run the church, trying to preach to a camera. Christy one day was sitting out there when we first started doing that because we'd never done this before like that. And she's sitting out there to make sure that everything, trying to communicate with people online, you know. Thank you for being at church. And I could hear my voice, the echo of my voice 30 seconds behind. I was like, and I didn't want to say anything because I was on camera. I was like, can she turn that down? But we got through it. And then after we came back, you know, we have 11 and then 12 and then 15 people. And now, you know, it's 25, 30, 35, sometimes 40 people. Why? Because we say, God, we're not going to get weak and we're not going to get lazy in doing good things, but we're going to stay strong in doing those good things. And here's what I'm going to leave you with this morning. In Ephesians 6:10, what the Apostle Paul said to them, oh, one final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Seems like there is a theme in the scriptures. Be strong and courageous in the Lord. He will do it. He did it for you once. He'll do it for you again. And no matter what you're going through, be strong. Let me tell you something. I have another sermon on my computer that I was going to preach this morning. And this morning, it was just all night. In my dreams, I guess. I don't know. It's just all day yesterday. It was just be strong, be strong. And I was down. I mean, it's a good sermon. You know, it's on the Holy Spirit because we got Pentecost coming up. And I'm like, this is great. Good sermon. Got a lot. And I was just reading through it. And I'm telling you, I love preaching on the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite topics to preach on, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, what he does in our life, the gifts of the Spirit, all these kind of things. And Jason, I was staring at it this morning. I was here at 6:30 staring at it, going through it. And I was like, God, I don't want to change right now. I've got this together. And the Lord's like, no. You can feel this, right, Adam? You can feel this. I'm like, all right, I got you. And so this is what you get. So the final words, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Come on, let's lift up the Lord in prayer this morning. What are you going through this morning? Have you began to get weak in your faith? Have you begin to get weak in what God had done in your life. You see, it doesn't matter what God did in your life 5 years ago. What matters is what he's doing in your life today. 5 years ago gets old. I'm going to tell you what my Uncle Dale said. I stole this from him, so if he sees this, he gets the credit. The Word of God is our daily food to keep us alive. You don't eat something and then not eat again. Oh, it was good. It was good. I ate 5 years ago. I'm good to go. No, you're going to be like, oh, I ate 5 years ago. I'm dead. We need to continue to get closer to the Lord. The experience that you experienced 2 weeks ago, it's going to get older and older. The salvation that you experienced whenever that was, that's going to wane. It's just the way it is. People forget what it was, what the United States, how it was founded and where it came from, and all the stuff and all the sacrifices that were made from the Revolutionary War to the Civil War to here we are today. They forget. Do you not believe that you're going to forget those things if you not do not continue to grow your roots deep into Jesus? Go back and remember those days, but don't live in those days. Say, God, I need to experience you today because I need to be strengthened today. I need food for my spirit and water for my soul today. That's what we need. So it's this morning. What are you going through? Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer right now. Come on. Whatever you're going through, right where you are, I don't know what it is. It's time to take it to the Lord in prayer. Father, number one, I rebuke every power, every demonic spirit, every power of Satan that would be confusing and causing confusion in your house this morning and anybody's life, in their mind, in their heart. Father, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that you are more powerful than anything else. And Lord, right now, I pray that you release your Holy Spirit into this place, into the hearts and the minds of the people. Father, I pray, Lord, right now that you're glorified in their lives. Lord, as there may be people in here that have begun to get weak because that your spirit is not going through them. They're not burying their roots deep into Jesus. They're not worshiping you like they used to worship you. They're not praising you like they used to praise you, Lord. But Lord, they're not thinking about the relationship between you and them like they used to. Lord, this morning is the morning to begin to build that back up, to begin to nourish that in their spirit and in their soul, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray right now that you will begin to speak to their heart and their mind. Get them close to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, for those who are just going through a rough time, Lord, this morning, that they came in here this morning, they didn't even want to be here this morning, but you're saying, be strong. People in their lives are giving them problems. Be strong. Things in their families not going right. Be strong. Stand strong. Be courageous. Stand strong. Don't stop. If you do not faint, you will, Lord, do in them a good work. Not stop. Do not stop. God, give them the energy, the spiritual energy to continue to stand strong. Stand strong. Stand strong. Lord, let them put on the full armor of God so they can withstand all that the devil brings against them. Lord, the devil is not powerful. We make the decisions. It's our decision, not the devil's. And Lord, this morning, I pray that they'll make a decision, that they're going to stand strong. And when the devil comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Those spiritual beings that come against, Lord, those thoughts, those evil thoughts that would try to invade our minds, Lord, we break them in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in, at the name of Jesus, the scripture says that every demon has to flee. Lord, we want to be like Joseph. When Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he fled from that sin because he wanted to live a life that was righteous. He wanted to stay strong. So this morning, that's what I ask. Bring strength. Lord, we're not going to live on the past. We're going to live on what our relationship is with you right this moment. Come in, Lord, right now. touch people, Lord. Father, I pray for those who are not here this morning, those for whatever reason, Lord, if they're sick, if they're working, or if they just didn't come to church for whatever reason, Lord, I pray that you will encourage them and that you'll strengthen them, that your Holy Spirit will be upon them and guide them. God, that they will understand that you are with them and they can stand strong too. Father, this morning, I pray that you will go with us and encourage us as we go through our day. Let us realize, Lord, it's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the pastor's wife's responsibility to preach the word and to live a righteous life. It's everybody's responsibility. You called us to go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, that is what we want to be about and what I want every person in this church to be about. So do that for us this morning, Lord. Right now, whatever you have in your life, you need to surrender to God. You need to just lay it down right now and tell him, I got it, God, you got it. The strength comes from you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. I give you that this morning, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Be strong, everybody. Be strong. We're going to honor our graduating class. What would